This weekend's Good Weekend featured as its cover story the story of James Packer. It's from an extract from a new book by Paul Barry. And it relates how Mr. Packer inherited from Carey, and of course from the Packer family and the wealth. James is the fourth generation of reasonably wealthy Packers. And they inherited about $6 billion was the empire. But of course, James over the last couple of years has managed to shrink that by losing about $4 billion. Not a bad sum of money to kind of whittle away. Anyway, he's down to his last $2 billion, the poor bugger. But of course, the story is about the fact, you know, the way that this is impacting upon him, the way that it's affected him, that he has seen his whole identity in terms of that wealth, in terms of that money, that he's built his whole life, his whole value system around owning those things and having those toys. Life is always about decisions. Life is always about the way in which we identify ourselves, the things that we value the most highly in our life. Our first reading from chapter 7 of the Book of Wisdom begins with the beautiful prayer that this author makes. We don't know whether the author is male or female, but they pray for understanding and for wisdom. And they say, "The Lord gave these things to me, and I valued these." And they go through a whole list of things, more than money, more than the finest jewels, more than health, more than good looks, more than power, more than authority. It's the way in which we identify ourselves. It's the way in which we establish, you know, what is truly the thing that at the end of the day I'm holding on to. What is it? What is it that defines me? What is it that I build my life around? When we come to the gospel, this man runs up to Jesus. He runs up there. It doesn't say that he's young in this gospel. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says that he was young. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that he was a ruler. So between the three Gospels, we build up this composite picture of this rich young ruler. And he has lived this good life. And he puts this significant question to Jesus. What must I do to receive this gift of eternal life? What is the one thing that I must do? And Jesus, of course, answers this question directly. First by saying, you know, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. But you must keep the commandments. You must not steal. You must not kill. You must not commit adultery. You must not bear false witness. You must not defraud. You must honor your father and your mother." And quite amazingly, this young man looks at Jesus. And in all honesty, he's able to say, "I have kept these since my very youth." Now I know that I can't look in the face of Jesus and answer that question in that way. I'm not sure how many people here, in any sense of honesty, would be able to look at Jesus and say, "Yes, I have kept the commandments." Especially, of course, if he'd heard Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus radically broadens the commandments to make them attitudes of heart. And then Jesus, of course, does something quite astonishing. The first of many astonishing things we're told that he does in this gospel. And he gazes at this young man. He looks steadily at him and loves him. Now I've put a painting, actually one of the parishioners here did for me. So it's there at the front of the church. Or you might want to imagine Jesus on the cross, or just in your usual way of looking upon Jesus. Look at the painting. Look at that image of Jesus and hear him addressing you in the same way. To look at you. Let him look at you. Let him love you. And hear him as he says, "Yes, but there's one thing today that you lack? One thing that's preventing you from loving me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength? It may be your fabulous good looks. It may be your last $2 billion. It may be your family ties. It may be your good name. It may be the fact that you have been faithful in sitting in that same pew every week for the last X number of years. It may not be something amazing, something incredible. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's a wound. Maybe it's the fact that you haven't been able to honour your father or mother. Maybe there's something in the past that you're clinging to. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's just an addiction to Oprah Winfrey. Or maybe it's something in your life that's simply preventing you from answering that invitation of Jesus to come, follow me. And it may be different from what it was last week or what it will be in a month's time. But the question of Jesus is always the same. And Jesus will continue to look at us. And Jesus will continue to love us. And Jesus will continue to invite us to follow him, to lay down whatever it is that today is preventing me from giving my whole heart and my life to him. And so the invitation that we have as we come to this Eucharist, as we bring our lives before the altar, is to let the Lord love us and let the Lord continue to look at us and to allow him to invite us to surrender whatever it is that's holding us back, whatever it is that prevents us from truly being free and giving ourselves to him. So let's allow the Lord to continue to look at us, to continue to love us, and invite us to come follow him.